Hello and welcome to our ICF teleclass for today, December 5th, 2017. My name is Cynthia Oraduba, your host for today. We welcome you to this teleclass entitled Ignite Your Coaching Using Human Design with Linda Landon, PCC. Do you ever feel like you're not quite in synchronicity with your client and you start to doubt yourself as a coach? In this teleclass, learn about Human Design, a cutting-edge personality assessment tool that can help you better understand yourself and your client. Linda will introduce you to the five Human Design types and strategies. You will run your own chart and learn how to run charts for your clients. There is a handout for today's teleclass. You may see the handout and live presentation online by going to the email reminder from ICF sent out 2 hours ago with your dial-in number and PIN. Scroll down just below your PIN and click on number 3. It says open the screen sharing to see the live presentation. So let me tell you a little bit about Linda. Linda Landon is an ICF credentialed coach, trained recovery coach, certified deep coaching facilitator, human design specialist, and experienced seminar leader. For the past 15 years, Linda has focused on guiding people to deeply transform themselves. Her clients range from business executives, to couples with children, to professionals who work in the field of addiction recovery, to people in their mid-50s going through a major life transition. I asked Linda to share some other things that don't involve coaching and facilitating and speaking and writing, and she said that she is a painter. And this is exactly how she described. She said, when I'm painting, I'm outrageous, uncentered, and free. And her paintings are so exciting that she was invited to show at a studio. So that's really wonderful. And the other thing she had to share is that she has been meditating and doing yoga for 30 years. So, welcome, Linda. I'm really happy to have you here today, and now the mic is yours.
Beyond honored to be doing this teleclass today. I love ICF. I've been a member since, I think, like 2002 when I first started coaching. I've been to a lot of meetings and teleclasses, and to actually be the one presenting is just a tremendous boon. So I am looking forward to offering all of you a very interactive experience because, as many of you probably will work this way, I think we learn through experience. So I want to just say a little bit about how this came to me. Over the years, I've played with many different assessment tools, Myers-Briggs, the Enneagram, the DISC system, and some others I can't even remember, and they're all fantastic. And then I found Human Design, or rather, Human Design found me, and it rocked my world. It rocked my world as a coach. It changed how I did my marketing, and it has deeply touched and impacted the lives of my clients. It's been really profound. And one of the things I most often hear from clients is, wow, no one has ever seen me in quite this way before. I feel completely seen and understood by you. And, you know, we are all coaches, and that's what we strive for, and there's something about Human Design that just enhances that tremendously. So what I'd like to do today is give you an overview of what Human Design is. You're actually going to have the opportunity, if you're near a mobile device or a computer, to run your chart if you haven't already. And we'll go through it, then there'll be a demo where I work with someone and I show you how I weave Human Design into coaching. We'll leave plenty of time at the end for Q&A, and I will also be interfacing with Cynthia so we can do a little interactive yes, no, and sharing and taking polls during the presentation. So I just want to remind you that if you are not on a mobile device or on a computer and you can't follow along this live slideshow, when you receive your confirmation for this class, there's a link to a PDF. And a PDF is a series of handouts, and it's actually the same as what I'm presenting today, except I'm going to show you a few more things that aren't on that. But so if you listen to this later, you can pull out the PDF handout and just follow along. Okay, so are we ready to get going? Got it. Let's move to what is human.
You know, I'm gonna intrude for one sec. I keep hearing a tone. And Elsbeth, do you hear that tone on Linda when she's speaking?
Yes, I do.
Yes. So, Linda, this is a brief technical discussion. Hold on one sec, everybody. Are you on a headset?
I am on a headset. Is it doing that right now?
Not now, but earlier a couple times. It almost sounds like a backup. You know how a garbage thing backs up and it goes doo doo doo. That's what it was sounding like.
Oh, you know what? That was outside. So
it was outside. It was the garbage man. And the garbage man was picking up all the extra sheets of the human design charts that you had worked for other clients. I get it. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you for letting us know that. Thank you for that brief interlude. Please continue.
All right. And if you hear anything else, I will shut the window completely.
Thank you.
Oh, gosh. You're welcome. All right. So let's begin. So right off the bat, I'm going to add another word, which is energy. So human design is this fantastic personality assessment tool, and it's about how we move through the world as energetic beings. So I'm hoping that you resonate with that, and if you don't, just follow along and you'll see how this works. So it's a fantastic tool that integrates a lot of traditions that are centuries old, like astrology, the Hindu chakra system, the I Ching, the Kabbalah, and quantum physics. And like many other tools, it reveals to you who you are and how to get the most out of your life. But it's something special about this because it gives you this map that not only helps you better understand yourself and who you are and how you move through the world, but it gives you this vehicle to see yourself with a tremendous amount of compassion and love and understanding. It doesn't put you into a box and say, this is who you are and work with it. It says, this is who you are and this is what your capacity is. And it gives you tools along with, you know, the coach you're working with to really expand into your most beautiful self. Plus, it gives you an opportunity to really understand where other people are coming from. So when you're working with your clients, if you have their permission to run their chart, it gives you a whole new way to interface with them. And then they can use it as a tool to work with on their own, which I'm a big fan of. Okay. So now, if you haven't already, you can take time with me right now to actually pull up your chart. So if you're on a mobile device or if you're in front of a computer, what you can do, we're now on slide number 3, which says see your chart. So you can go to the web address www.jovian, J-O-V-I-A-N, archive, archive.com. And if you can go there, I'm going to go there with you, and I'll show you how to do this. Pulling up on my website, the Jovian Archive page. Wait a moment. And then, of course, this is also on the recording for those of you who listen later. When you get to this page, you want to go to the part at the top that says Get Your Free Chart. And I'm clicking on that right now with my mouse. You'll see what opens up. Now, here's this really simple set of fields that you fill in to run a chart. So I'm just going to do this right now. I'm going to put my name, Linda, my birthday, which is the 23rd. The month was March, and you need to put the number. So March would be 3. Oops, I don't know. And my year, 1953, so I'm being totally transparent. Now, I was born at 3:35 in the afternoon. So what you write is you do this, and I think you call this nautical time. So it would be 15:35, and then I put my country, which is USA, and then you see a drop-down comes, and I say USA, New York, scroll down to New York, and then I write in my city, Huntington. So now I filled in all these different fields. Birth time is really important. So if you can't find your birth time right now, just write 12 for 12 noon and then go back and find it later. And then you hit calculate. And there you have it, your chart. So for those of you who are able to, who either had it ahead of time or able to look at it now, you might want to tuck that to the side so you can follow along while I go back to the slides. Let me just pause here and check in with Cynthia. Does anyone need have any question about finding their chart?
If you're having a problem finding your chart, please press 1 on your keypad.
Cynthia, we have a number
of
hands
up. 5 or 6 people who are having problems. I'll call on one of them, Michael Brand.
Let's answer.
Maybe his question will be the question the others have. Michael Brand.
Michael,
yes, can you hear me?
Yes,
I can. Yes, good. I just fixed it. I just finally got on the page, so I'm fine now.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Are any others? Put the hands down, and I'll ask to be raised again. If you're still having problems, push 1. Okay, we just have a few. Sandra McNeil?
Yes, I just wanted to know.
Sandra?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. I just want to know the website again. Is www what?
www.j, as in joy, O-V-I-A-N, archive, archive.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And when you get to Jovian Archive, click on the thing at the top that says get your free chart. All right.
Okay, so do you want to continue?
Yes, so I'm going to continue.
Yes.
All right. So if you're able to get your chart, you want to be able to reference it as we move through. And if you weren't, you can find it later, and you can listen to this later, and it will all work out. So I'm just going to take a breath because that was sometimes that's a little challenging, and just come back to being with all of you, and we'll start. So first of all, there are 5 types in human design, 5 types of people. There are manifestors, manifesting generators, generators, projectors, and reflectors, and I'm going to do an overview of each of these types. And after I've done that, I want to take a poll because it will be very interesting to see how the breakdown is of various types on this call. So manifestors are actually only 8% of the population. And I don't know, those of you who are watching the screen, the live screen share, you'll see me sort of circle around 8%. Manifestors are the people in your life who can just do it. They get an idea, they run with it, they make the whole thing happen. And it's almost like it happens so fast, you just go, whoa, where did they go? Manifestors like to work alone. They're secretive. They're powerful initiators. They're not necessarily the kind of people that you would put on, you would call a team player. They kind of get into this creative flow, and they just don't want to be bothered until they're done. So they move fast, and they're secretive and mysterious. And they're here to get things started. And then, hopefully, turn that thing over to someone else and get on to something else. Now, manifestors have what we call non-sustainable energy. Their energy comes in spurts. They'll have the big spurt of creative flow. They'll go off and do this thing, and then they'll need to rest. And if they don't rest, they can burn out. Now, when a manifestor isn't following what we call their strategy, they can get angry or cause other people to get angry. So now I want to speak to strategy, because this is the most important piece about human design. The strategy is what is this style or way of being that's recommended to you. And if you follow your strategy, essentially all the gifts in your chart come to being. So let me take a moment and just pause, because I'm talking about a type, but we've got this photograph here of this thing against like a body. So let's just take a look. You've got 9 different shapes, and all these lines and little numbers, and some of the shapes are colored in or some are open. So I'm going to explain a little bit more of what that all is later on in the presentation, but I want you to realize that the manifestor is one particular configuration of all these elements. So for a manifestor, their strategy, what makes life work better for them, is to inform people, the people that are close to them, the people they work with, what they're up to before they jump into that next thing. Just leave it there, and we'll come back to that later. And just some examples of some famous manifestors. George Bush, he was kind of a do-it-myself kind of thing. He really didn't like interfacing with Congress and so on. And I won't. Our current president is actually a different type. We'll get to him. But George Bush, Jack Nicholson, Al Gore, very good at doing things on their own. The challenge for them is informing the people that are with them what they're doing so that those people can support and be on their team. So that's our manifestor. The next type is the generator. Now, generators make up more of the population. We're talking 37%, a good third plus of the population. Generators are our builders, creators. They're the ones who complete the projects that those manifestors have started. They can create amazing, beautiful things in the world, and they're absolutely an essential part of the puzzle piece of humanity. They're steady, they master what they put their attention to, and they respond. They're like dancing with the person in front of them, the email, the client. They're very much in collaboration and response all the time. Now, their energy is different than a manifestor. The generator has sustainable, consistent, sometimes even, there's variations on that, flows of energy. It's like if they get a good night's sleep, they can wake up in the morning, and if they're doing what they love, they can just dive into it and consistently stay with it throughout the day. And then they need to discharge all that juicy energy so that when they go to sleep, they can sleep well, recharge their battery, and be ready to go the next day. Now, the challenge for the generator is that they're not a manifestor. If you're a generator, you're not here to just get an idea and run with it. It will just fly in your face. Like if you get this idea that you're going to run a seminar, if you don't do that in response to something that's shown up in your life and you just initiate and put it out there, ask yourself, how does that go for you? And I'll get some feedback about this in a little while. So you're here to collaborate and respond to the next thing that arises, and you can be incredibly creative and initiate, but it's more like in collaboration and teamwork with others. It's very important as a generator you do what you love. And if you don't do what you love and you don't follow your strategy, which is to respond, then you can burn out. Famous generators are Albert Einstein, Bill Clinton, the Dalai Lama. Respond, respond, respond. Albert Einstein, think about it, responding to what arises and then coming up with a next new brilliant thing. Now, we have the manifesting generator, which is a hybrid of the manifester and the generator. The manifesting generator, like a manifester, moves fast. But like a generator, a manifesting generator is here in collaboration and response with people, places, things around them. Manifesting generators can run circles around us generators and other types. They're very fast moving, and they like to have more than one ball up in the air at one time. They are actually energized by multitasking. They love to work, and they love to talk about their work. And that's true about a manifesting generator and a generator. They love to talk about their work. And they could work 24/7, but they also need to rest. So a manifesting generator, because they move so fast, sometimes may skip a step, and they just have to come back and pick up the thing that they lost. And also, if they're not following their strategy, they can get frustrated or angry. So if you're a manifesting generator, the operating strategy for you is, like a generator, to respond to what arises in a conversation. You know, you may have this idea that you really want to go take a vacation, and you're driving home and you see a billboard. And then you get home and your spouse says, "Hey, honey, I think it's time for us to go away." And then you respond and the thing comes to being. That's true for a generator or a manifesting generator. You get the idea, but you don't put it into action until something outside of you brings it into a dialogue or a collaboration. So manifesting generators also are here to respond, and because they move so fast, they need to let others know what they're up to before they zoom off into the next thing. So famous manifesting generators, just looking politically speaking right now, are Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. I'm not going to weigh in any more on it than that, just letting you know. So our next type, I'm sort of zooming through the types, and then I'm going to make some time for questions. So we have our projectors. Projectors are 20% of the population. So they're like one-fifth. And projectors have a whole different kind of energy. Now, projectors, like manifestors, do not have sustainable, consistent life force energy that just runs steadily through the day, like a generator or a manifesting generator. Projectors' energy comes in spurts. And honestly, this is really what I have found to be so, because I am one. Oops, let's go back. That's a reflector. Projectors are here to rest, play, and then take action. Or another way to say it is to rest, play, and then go to work. Now that, if you're a projector, can be kind of shocking. It was to me when I found out, because I was trying so hard to be a good generator and work, and build my business and lead workshops and yada, and I was getting so burnt out, like physically ill. So projectors need to rest and play and then do some work, and then take a break and do some more work. Projectors are here to guide and direct other people, especially the generators and the manifesting generators. We kind of provide the rails for the generators and the manifesting generators to do their beautiful work. Now, as projectors, and I'm going to say we because I'm one of them, we can struggle to be a generator or a manifesting generator or a manifester, and it kills us. It just wears us out. We also can struggle to keep up with the generators and manifesting generators, but our energy flow is different. Now, we see things and we name things, and if we say something without following our strategy, people will shut us down or call us bossy or just not even recognize us or get angry with us, and then we can get bitter So the biggest sort of thing I say to projectors is pay attention to your body and take breaks. Know when enough is enough and then stop, or you'll get tired or you'll get sick like I did over and over again. Now, the strategy for a projector is to wait, be invited. And I'm going to be a little bit more specific. Wait to be recognized and then invited in. So, for instance, if you're a projector and you go to a networking event like an ICFLA chapter meeting, you are not the one who goes to the front of the room and says, this is who I am and this is what I'm up to, and it just doesn't work for you. Whereas a manifesting generator can respond and do that, or a manifester might even be able to just pull it off. But when you're in a conversation as a projector, you are quietly listening and waiting for your light to be seen until people invite you to share, and then you can tell them everything. You get to play just like everyone else. You just have to really listen to the timing. And famous projectors are Nelson Mandela, Barack Obama, Princess Diana. Then we'll go to the reflector, and then we'll take a break and do a little check-in with everyone. Reflectors are very rare beings. And if you look over here at this chart, every single one of these centers, we call these shape centers, are wide open. We'll talk more about what that means later. Reflectors are rare beings. They're 1 or less than 1% of the population. They're wide open. They literally reflect back the environment that they're in. They reflect back the people, the places, the situation. They're mirrors for their community. They're deeply sensitive. It's very important that they're with the right people, because if they're with people who are not healthy for them, they can get really ill. They're kind of like the canary in the coal mine. I'm going to spend a little less time on reflectors, but what I want to say about reflectors is that their strategy is also quite challenging for them. They have to wait 28 days or more to make a decision. They have to wait through a whole, literally, lunar cycle, talk through this thing over and over with other people, hear themselves before they land in their decision. So their decision-making can seem to others very slow, but they're deeply sensitive and deeply nuanced beings. And a beautiful example of a reflector is Amma, the person who, she's from India. We call her the hugging guru, and she does sangha around the world where she hugs people for darshan. I don't know if any of you have been in her presence. She's this powerful light being, and she's created this whole community around her that's doing amazing philanthropic work throughout the world. Just stunning. And her is very well taken care of by her environment, so she can do her beautiful work. So what I'd like to do now, and Cynthia, you can help me with this, let's take a poll, first of all, and let's find out what the breakdown is on the call of these five different types. So if you're a manifester, you can press 1. If you're a manifesting generator, you can push 2. If you're a generator, I invite you to push 3. If you're a projector, press 4. And if you're a reflector, press 5. And let's see what we get here. It'd be really interesting, Cynthia, to hear what the percentages are.
Okay, this is Elspeth, and I think we must have lost Cynthia for a moment. So at 1...
No, here I am. This is this
okay.
Is, yep. We have 6% that are... The first one is creator?
The manifester.
Manifester.
Excellent.
And then the second, we have 18%.
Mm-hmm.
And the third would be 27%. What is that, a manifesting generator?
That's the generator, and the
that's
fourth
the generator.
Would be the projector.
Okay. And then 4, we have 16%. And for the fifth one, the reflector, we have 1%.
Okay, so we do have a reflector on the call. Woohoo! So this breakdown is pretty congruent with my experience of human design. So 6% of you are the manifestors that just get things done, do it, Lone Ranger kind of people. 18% are the manifesting generators. 27% are the generators. 16% are projectors. And I expect at least 16% or more on a coaching call to be projectors, because it's coaches are, you know, we're here to guide and direct, so it kind of attracts projectors. And we have 1% who's a reflector. So what I'd like to do right now is just take a moment to pause and take a few questions, and then we'll move on. So if you have a question about, for instance, your type and strategy, just press 1 and we'll call on you.
Elizabeth? Your hand
Hi,
is
Elizabeth.
Up. Is this Elizabeth?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Oh, great. Okay. Hey, Linda.
Hi, Elizabeth.
I had a question for you, being a generator, because I've been studying this for a while, but I've never quite heard it this way, which is the whole experience of waiting or response, and how life kind of collaborates with me. I've always called it synchronicity, you know, but I don't. Maybe it's a generator thing, where I start thinking of something, and then I see somebody hands me a book about it, or I want to do something, and then all of a sudden something comes in the mail. Are you saying that that's part of my co-creation with life as a generator?
Yes. I mean, I'm grinning from ear to ear, because what you're describing is a generator who's in flow. So when you're listening to that and you're in synchronicity, which was in the first line of my description of the course, actually, that's synchronicity. So when you're in synchronicity, you're actually in that beautiful generator space of responding. Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't see that, but it's funny because I've spent my whole life feeling like I'm in and out of that flow of synchronicity, and sometimes I'm more in and sometimes I'm more out. But I never thought of it as that part of the whole response mechanism to me and the universe. So thank you for that. That's really cool.
You're very welcome. And I'm wondering, when you look at your chart, or it sounds like you have a little familiarity, do you have definition in your emotional solar plexus?
My top three are open and the rest are all filled in.
Okay, so that would also mean, and we'll talk about this in a moment, that when you're in flow, it feels good, right? It does feel good?
Yep.
Okay, lovely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm like in gratitude, and oh, my God, I feel like, oh, life is magical, you know. Yeah.
Beautiful. Let's take one more, and then thank you, Elizabeth. That was a beautiful example for us. Let's take one more question, and then we'll continue.
Okay, Nancy. Nancy Jane.
I'm a generator. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I came out as a generator, but I feel like I'm more of a manifesting generator than, as you described it, than just a generator. I don't really, I do teamwork, but I prefer more to be by myself. I like to talk about what I do. More of what you said kind of fits the manifesting part, but, you know, when I went and did the chart, it says generator.
So if we do have the opportunity to look at your chart in depth at another time, what I'll start looking at are something called the profile, and I'll be looking at some of those numbers, which are called gates, because you can be a generator who's here to respond, but you may also have, as part of your learning style, the preference to do things on your own, be sort of more of a, like being alone. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Oh, definitely. I was taught that, though. I was a war baby and raised by my grandparents, and I was taught, you know, with five adult parents around me, so it was like they were my people to play with, and it was much more that I've always been by myself or I feel more comfortable. I mean, I can do teamwork. I coach group. I just got through coaching, you know, a group this morning. I'm comfortable with that. I'm also comfortable with coaching, you know, individuals. But it's when I'm working myself, I find having other people in a team, unless I know what I'm doing, a big distraction. I want to know where I'm going and my strategy and everything figured out, and then I'm okay to be in the team, but I don't want to just be thrown into the team, if that makes sense.
So in your case, what we would, and this goes for anyone when I work with their full chart, we would look at all these different elements, and so there would be probably something in you about liking, preferring to work alone. So we would still fine-tune the ways that even when you're doing your own thing by yourself, you're in response. In response doesn't necessarily mean with another person. It could be with an email or something that shows up on the internet, or there's a lot of ways to be in response. It can be just you alone. So that's a really good point, and I hope that I have the opportunity to look at your chart sometime, and we'll investigate that a little further.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's go to this part, and then we're going to move into the coaching demo, where the rubber really starts to meet the road. Oh, actually, we have two more parts, so I'm going to start the demo in about, I'm aiming for like 5 to 7 minutes. So this is slide number 9, and I apologize, Barry, I did not say every number of the slide as I was going, but I did say the name of the slide. So for those of you who are listening along, we are now on slide number 9, communication. And this is a summary of how you need to, as a particular type, it's better for you to communicate people. I'm getting a little tongue-tied. Let me just go through it, and you'll see how this starts to fit together in terms of you and how you relate to other people and communicate with them. Manifestors, as we were saying, need a lot of freedom to do their own thing and stay in their creative flow. So if you know a manifestor or if you have a client who's a manifestor, don't tell them what to do, and don't ask them yes, no questions. You need to ask them open-ended, curious questions like, I'm wondering if you'd like to meet me after our session for dinner. And then you also, with a manifestor, need to let them know what you're up to. Now, with a generator who's busy working and doing what they love, again, don't tell them what to do. Now, with a generator and a manifesting generator, you actually want to use yes-no questions to wake up their inner authority. And I'm going to demonstrate that in the demo in a few minutes. This is really key for the generator and the manifesting generators. They respond really well to, do you want to meet with me later? Yes. Do you want it to be 7 o'clock? No. How about 7:30? Uh-huh. And there's a sound, which we're going to start seeing in use in a few minutes. Now, I know, you know, with coaches, we're taught to ask open-ended questions. With a generator and a manifesting generator, they may sometimes get lost with an open-ended question. But if you skillfully use a yes-no that not limiting, but just opening doors for them, you can feel them ground and go to the core truth of who they are. It's very, very powerful. Now, projectors, because they're supposed to wait to be invited, need to be invited to speak, present, share their wisdom. So if you know or have a client or a friend who's a projector, invite them to share their wisdom and their insights, and they will teach you. Like, I have this projector client. Oh, my God. She just she goes through all these amazing life experiences, and I just kind of witness and support and watch. And then she comes up with these incredible insights that she teaches. I mean, she does. She totally teaches me. So as projectors, we need to wait for our moment to speak. We can't just jump in. We need to be invited to speak, and then we can share. And we need to be called out by others. And reflectors, very sensitive, don't rush them. So our reflector on the call, you need all the time in the world to make decisions. You need to be gentle with yourself and be with your right people. Now I'm moving on to slide number 10. And I'm going to just reference this and then move forward. In your chart, there are 9 shapes, which are what we call the 9 centers. They're centers where you run energy for thinking, feeling, surviving, finding life direction, and so on. So slide 10 explains these centers. What I want to do right now is show you something incredibly important about the centers, which is on slide 11, definition and openness. You'll look at your chart and you'll see that some of the centers are white and some of the centers are colored in. One is not better than the other. They're just different life experiences happening in these different centers. The ones that are colored are what we call defined centers. So when you look at this graph here on the slideshow or your PDF handout, you'll see there are 4 centers right down the middle that are colored in and 1 to the left. What this means is that the energy that's experienced in these centers originates from within this person and transmits out. For instance, this center right in the middle, it's kind of a diamond shape and it's kind of a yellowish color. This is called the center of identity or the G center. I am shutting the window. So this is called the G center. When you have this center defined, that means you have a clear sense of who you are, no matter where you are in the world. Even if things, life circumstances come that kind of push you over, you always kind of come back to center, kind of like one of those blow-up dolls that you push over and they come back to center. So if you have definition in your G center, no matter what's going on around you, you've always had a steady sense of who you are. Now, if you have openness in a center, what that means is that you're more open and receptive in that energetic center. And the energy, you don't actually generate energy inside of you. It's rather like you receive the energy from other people. So, for instance, you take in energy from others into you, and it fills you, and then you can amplify it out. So, for instance, if you have, looking at this chart, if you look at the very lower right center, it's a triangle pointing inwards and it's white on this chart. That's what we call the emotional solar plexus, the center for generating emotional energy. If you have that center open, you're incredibly empathic and you can feel what other people are feeling emotionally, sometimes more than they can, which can be a great asset, but it can also be a challenge because you need to learn how to move that energy through you, not take it on as your own, let it pass through and not stick to you. So I'm aware of the time, and what I'd like to do right now is move into the demo, and I have a feeling that as I work with my person in the demo, we're going to answer some of these questions about openness and definition. And then at the end, if there are further questions, we'll get back to them. So with that, I'm tempted. I think, Barry, we should move into the demo, yes, because I'm looking at the time.
Yeah, yes. So just a quick time check, 10 minutes to the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm. Yep, okay, let's do that, and then we'll circle back for questions. So for those of you who have the PDF handouts, what I'm going to show you now, it will not be in your handout, but it is on the screen share we're showing live. So I'm going to go find that. And I'm going to invite Jean, who has very graciously and volunteered to be my coaching client, to be unmuted.
I believe I'm here, Linda.
Hi, Jean. So now we're going to take 10 to 15 minutes, and we're going to make this thing. Let me time check with Barry. I would say we can take 15. Can we take up to 20 for this?
You have to be done by 23 after.
Okay. We're going to go till 5 or 10 after, and we'll still have time. 5 after. Okay. Jean, so thank you for doing this. And for those
thank
of you.
You
who are, you're welcome. For those of you who are watching live, we have Jean's chart up, and Jean is a manifesting generator. So what I'd like to do with you, Jean, is sort of an example of what I do with a client who's kind of new to coaching, and I'm introducing human design to them. So this is going to be sort of a synthesis of introducing human design to you, plus using it to coach you around something that may arise. How does that sound to you?
Sounds good.
And I'm going to ask then, do I have permission to coach you?
Yes.
So immediately, I'm going to also reference what I'm doing as I do this. So immediately, knowing that Jean is a manifesting generator, I'm going to do my best to ask her yes, no questions. And then Jean, as I do that, I invite you to access what I call, or what we call, the sacral response. If it's a yes, it may sound like aha. Uh-huh. And if it's a no, it might sound like uh-uh. So just for fun, would you be willing to practice your sacral response with me?
Sure.
And I'm going to ask you again, and try using the sound uh-huh, and see how that feels. Would you be willing to try using your sacral response for a little bit?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And if it starts to feel really unnatural, you can go back to yes, no. All right. So as we're entering into our coaching time together, is there something that you'd like to bring forth that we could keep in mind or work with as we're using your chart?
Yes. So right now in my life, I'm being offered several awesome opportunities, and I'm kind of going through how to manage my time so that I don't overcommit and underdeliver.
Okay. So you want to manage your time better so you don't overcommit and underdeliver. So what I'm hearing from you is that you're someone who has a tremendous amount of integrity. Is that true?
Uh-huh.
So as I'm speaking to Jean, I'm actually looking at her chart, and her chart is speaking to me. And there are elements of the chart that I'm referencing that go beyond type and strategy. So when I asked that first question, I was looking at what we call a gate in her chart, and it's the gate 26, and it's all about integrity. So I'm just playing with what I see in her chart as I'm stepping into this coaching dialogue. So, Jean, what would be typically when you're invited in to do something like this, how do you make the decision of whether you're going to do it or not? So that's a more open-ended question, but go ahead.
I look for, is it following my passion? Is it something that I enjoy? Is it something that I think I can learn from? Is it something that stretches me?
And then do you have someone in your life who can ask you yes, no questions to get clarity to those, to get your yes, no answers for those?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So how can I help you with this right now? Like, what's the place where you might get stuck or overcommit?
I think it might even go back to what, you know, when you described the manifesting generator, right? I truly am somebody who is more, if I have more to do than I can possibly accomplish, that energizes me. And I do sometimes find myself struggling with focus and one thing at a time. I tend to do two or three, and then I tend to make progress in that morning. If I try to do one, I really don't make the progress.
Excellent. So you already are seeing that it actually serves you to be working on more than one thing at a time. And when you do that, you get more done.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm wondering, are you someone, you know, you said you lack focus. Maybe focus is not really appropriate for you. Maybe it needs to be sort of a wider, big vision picture for you. Would that feel right?
Yeah, even as I said the word focus, I said it and I didn't mean it like it was derogatory. I meant it like it
no.
was limiting.
Yeah. So would you say that you're someone who needs a lot of space to explore and go?
Uh-huh.
So what I'm going to point out some things in your chart that support that. You have at the top, the two triangles at the top are wide open. And that's what we call your head center and your ajna. These are the centers where you receive inspiration and you store information and you get insight and ideas, and it's your thinking center. So you're wide open. So would you say that you're someone who is bombarded by ideas and inspiration on a pretty regular basis?
Yes.
And as you're bombarded by all this information, do you ever find it difficult to decide what thing to act on?
Uh-huh. Very much so.
And I still feel like I'm not getting what the essence is that we need to get to here. So let's see. Let's just take a moment. May I ask you some yes, no clarifying questions about your chart?
Yes.
Okay. Would you say that you thrive on starting new things, new ventures?
Yes.
And would you say that you love to deeply investigate whatever that thing is so you know it to its core?
Yes.
And do you ever feel a little bit afraid to start because you've got to learn just one more piece and one more piece before you go?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm looking at your chart, and one of the strongest elements in your chart is what we call the gate of depth and exploration and investigating and knowing. So it's very important for you to explore and investigate and know before you go, but there's also a part of you that just wants to jump out of the starting gate and just go for it.
Yes.
So does that sometimes feel like a conundrum or a challenge to you?
Yes, it does, and I find myself, I'll use the term vacillating, spinning.
Okay.
I want to
okay.
go, but yet I want to, do I need this? I want to go, am I ready? Am I go? Can I get ready? That type of thing.
Exactly. So this is one. See, this is one of the gifts here. So we look at that and we go, okay, that's normal for you. Go, don't go. Go, I want to go, but I need to learn more. And how does it feel just to hear that? Like that's totally normal for you.
Well, I like to hear that it's totally normal. That makes me feel better.
And, you know, go ahead, please.
Well, I was just going to say, because it is something that I'm very conscious about, and I know I love to learn, and I literally consciously have to stop and say, I think you have enough to get going. You know, I would call it like the 80-20 rule, right? You know enough
yeah.
to get this going. You don't have to be at 100%.
Thank you. And that is sort of for someone who has what we call the gate 48 in her sun. So for all of you who are looking at this chart, what I'm referencing are the planets on either side. You'll see these like planetary signs on either side of the body graph. So the one on the upper right-hand corner underneath the word personality, it says 48. So that gate, which is a portal for energy that all in her chart, that's her strongest of 64 total gates on her chart. That is her strongest, most, that's the gate that's strongest for her. So it's the gate of depth and investigating, and I've got to know. And she also has investigation in another element we call profile. So that you said that, you know, I know enough, it's time to go, is so important for you. Because you could spend years researching,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
So for you, when you find yourself researching and researching, I would invite you to have someone in your life, someone you know and trust, to say, hey, Jean, do you think you got it and it's time to go now? And just ask you yes, no questions and get you up and running.
And I have used that, and it does act, it does work. And then I reflect back, and I always go, see, it always works out. Why were you thinking you needed to know more?
Well, you're thinking you need to know more because it's in your sun sign and your chart, and you'll always think that.
Okay, good.
And you just, you know, like you said, you just sort of sweet talk yourself through it and jump in. So
yeah,
I still want to come back to your initial thing that you posed, because I don't know if we've really addressed it. So let's just circle back to what you said and see if anything we've said so far supports, you know, this piece about tell me again, because I think we kind of lost
okay.
it.
Well, I don't think we did. I didn't. And I understand you're doing this. So in other words, it was more of like managing all these new and exciting things so that I don't overcommit and underdeliver. So if I look back now at our conversation, it's still back into that, well, I need to know more before, or I need to understand all of this more depthly before I commit versus, do you kind of see what I'm saying now? It's like it's got to be perfectly figured out, perfectly planned, and then I can move forward when I know that's not reality.
Okay, good. And then I'm going to bring in one or more element, and then we'll start to wrap. Oh, no, we've still got 5 minutes. We're great. So good. So then you know when it's ready to go, and you can jump in and commit to this project. Now, if you look at your chart again, the lower right-hand triangle is completely white. That's called your emotional solar plexus. Do you see that? It's white, and there are no colored what we call gates on it. This is called your emotional solar plexus. This is the center for emotional energy. Now, when I was talking a few minutes ago about openness versus definition, I will repeat this because this is really important. Where you're open, like at the head centers as well, and now in the emotional center, where you're open is where you receive emotional energy. So when you're jumping into projects with other people, are you also very aware of your impact or how they're feeling about your activity? Like, are you aware of other people's emotions?
Yes.
Would you like to say more about that?
Well, I was going to say I believe I am, and I typically do it in my same fashion. Like, I believe I am, and then I look for verification or validation.
Are you ever concerned that what you might do or say as you jump into the next thing might hurt someone's feelings or get them riled up?
Yes, especially if it's somebody that I'm maybe new working with, or it's a new alliance, versus somebody who knows me or has had interactions.
Okay. And does that concern sometimes interfere with your capacity to just really make a clear decision and go forward?
I think it weighs in, but to be honest with you, I tend to make more decisions intuitively. I tend to feel, I'm a feeler in that area, I tend to feel this is right or it's not right.
Good.
And then I go with that feeling.
Excellent. You also have very strongly in your chart what we call the gate of intuition. And not only that, it's a what we call a channel, which is about intuitively knowing the next best thing to do to create transformation. It's in your chart. It's like what we call defined. How does it feel to hear that?
Well, that actually feels, thank you. That's like a validation of what I believe I'm living. So
it's right there for you. And so what I want to say about the openness emotionally is this. And Lynn, we'll do it. We'll just explore it a little bit more. I will pose that you are indeed incredibly empathic and you can feel what people feel. So does that feel what they feel emotionally? Sadness, melancholy, joy, happiness. You feel it.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk into a room, do you find sometimes that your emotional energy can change depending on what's going on in the room?
Absolutely, yes.
So that's what I'm talking about. Those of us who have openness in our emotional solar plexus feel other people's emotional energy, and it can affect us. It deeply affects us. And so what we learn to do is find ways to let that energy touch us but not hold on to it. And would you say that when you're alone by yourself in a very peaceful environment, that you're an emotional being with mood swings, up and down mood swings?
I don't think I have dramatic or, you know, big mood swings. My mood can occasionally, and now that you're asking it that way, I think in some cases if I'm feeling something very strong, and it's maybe going against where my emotion was before I entered this, then it can affect my mood if it's very strong. If it's not very strong, then it's almost my choice, right? Like I can choose to let it affect my mood or not.
If it's going against your integrity, is that when it can affect your mood?
Oh yes. If it's going against my integrity, my values, you know, those things. And I mean, it's not even like a conscious thing. It's a subconscious thing, right? Like this, I just get that this is not resonating with me. This is not something that, and then I make a decision on whether I want to put my energy out there or whether it's worth it or not.
Beautiful. So what I'm hearing is that if this thing is not in alignment with your integrity and your being, you get a signal like a not good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Which you respond to, and then you make a correct decision to rectify.
Yes.
And so I'm also pointing this out because as I look at her chart, I'm looking at a different gate, which is the gate of integrity. It's also called the gate of the trickster, but I call it the gate of integrity because in your chart, that can be like the barbed wire fence along the path that you're on. Like if you're in integrity, you're good. But if you start to cross, you hit the barbed wire and you don't feel good. Does that feel right?
Yes.
So that's a very important signifier for you if you're on course or not.
Yes.
Beautiful. And so when that's awry, you don't feel right. But other than that, you don't have vacillating mood swings.
No.
Yeah. Now, someone who has definition in the emotional solar plexus actually has emotional ups and downs, which are very normal for them. But if you're open like you are or I am and a lot of people on this call are, it's more about other things like in your case, integrity, or maybe you feel somebody else's emotion and it vibrates in you.
Yes, I'd say.
Okay. So I'm aware of the time, so we need to wrap. And this has been somewhat fluid session here, and I want to see if there's something you want to share with all of us that you're gleaning and taking away from our time together.
Yeah, this was quite fascinating. Again, just doing this quick little thing with your birth date and having this kind of detailed accuracy about your personality and your emotions. It's a fascinating assessment in that respect, and I can easily see where this could really help with working with our clients.
Thank you.
Knowing what supports them, knowing what triggers them.
Yeah. And then giving them a tool so that they can skillfully navigate those difficult places.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is what we're all about.
Exactly, bringing awareness. Let's just use the example. Somebody that is empathetic and goes in and doesn't know how to handle those emotions, right? Maybe hasn't learned to do that. Giving them the tools to say, stop, recognize it, let it go, let it come through you, let it be there, and then decide how you want to use it at this time.
Wow. Thank you. Beautiful insight and teaching. I love how our clients teach us. That's gorgeous. Thank you. All right. I am going back to our slides. And I'm going to open it up now for questions. And I'm going to slide 13. So what I have now is slide 13, which is put this into practice. So this is sort of a review of how you can integrate what we've done today. So I have it up for you to see, but rather than read that, I'd really like to open up the line and take the next, I'd say the next 10 for Q&A, and then at the very end I'll show you all how you can take this to the next level. So Cynthia, if you will,
before I call
those of you who have, I'm sorry?
Before I call on, I just have one question I'd like to ask.
Please.
Okay, and that is, how does coaching with human design apply to the ICF core competencies?
Well, I think what we were showing with Jean is that it develops awareness. When you use human design and you really understand type and strategy, you can communicate in a way that may be more effective with your clients so they feel deeply heard and listened to. I think what we're also demonstrating is that there's a beautiful dance of back and forth. I don't know if that's one of the core competencies, but awareness, coaching presence, I think, you know, again, I think invite everyone to feel into this for themselves. Does having something like this help you be more present with yourself and with your client?
Thank you.
Thank you.
If anyone has a question for Linda, press 1 on your telephone keypad. Sandra McNeil.
Yes, good morning. Listen, I saw on my inner authority it said emotional solar plexus, and my emotional solar plexus on the chart is colored, is not open. So mm-hmm. when it's colored, that means it's closed. Can you give me
yeah.
a little bit of...
I would love to, and I'm so grateful for your question. I didn't even talk about authority today, and I do want to talk about emotional definition. So it's Sandra, correct?
Yes.
Sandra has that the, let me go back. Well, I'm just going to refer to, go. So if you look at slide number 11, definition and openness, her center on the lower right-hand corner is actually not white, it's colored in. So she has definition in her emotional center. So what this means, Sandra, is that you were born with the capacity to feel a wide range of emotions. So you can feel happy, you can feel just sort of, you know, mellow, and you can also have downs, times of melancholy, sadness, and that for you it's normal to have ups and downs of emotions.
Wonderful.
Yes, and I thank you for saying that because I think in our culture we're so prone to get uncomfortable when people are in the down part of their ways. And with human design we go, oh, honey, are you feeling a little melancholy? You want to just take a break and we'll revisit this tomorrow? Or, you know, you can say to yourself, you know, I just need to get under the covers for a half an hour and just feel a little bit mopey.
Yeah,
or it could
great.
Be, you know, or it could be 24 hours, but to ride the wave with a lot of compassion. Thank you.
Thank you. That's just what I feel today, down.
Good. So I invite you to just like treat yourself like a queen in the down and just be down until you're done being down and watch it start to shift on its own.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Jessica Wong. Jessica?
Hi. Can
Hi,
you
Jessica.
Hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Hi, thank you very much. I'd like to know where I should go to read about the chart. So what the numbers mean. There are 64 gates. What the purple numbers mean. what each of the symbols mean? Like, where can I go to read about this? Because I've been Googling and I can't find.
Okay, so at the end, in about 5 minutes, I'm going to give you some resources. And I would say you want to go for resource number one or two, and we'll send you a chart and we'll send you some more information so you can start to read more about what we call the lines, the profiles, and the centers. Also, I will just say right here on the call, my teacher has written a fantastic book, and it's not on this handout, but I'll just say it out loud. It's called Understanding Human Design, and it's by Karen, with a K, Curry Parker. Now, I do readings and I educate, but if you want a book that's like a textbook where you can just go wild and go into depth, that's an excellent resource. So again, Understanding Human Design by Karen, actually it's by Karen Curry, C-U-R-R-Y, and it's on Amazon. Thank you.
Any more questions before we turn it over? I don't see any questions now.
Okay.
So you can continue.
Let's take a quick peek at pulling it all together and putting it into practice.
Okay.
And then I will talk about how can you really, you know, if this interests you, really take it to the next step. So reviewing, the most important thing I want you to take home today is honor your own type and strategy. Get curious, explore it. You know, do a little self-inventory and see if any of this resonates with you. And just for fun, practice using your strategy. So if you're a generator, whoops, let's go back. Bear with me, people. Go to slide. Here we go. So if you're a generator or a manifesting generator, every time you need to make a decision, invite somebody in your world to ask you yes-no questions and see if you can access that deep intuitive sound that I touched on with Jean, which is And a great way to practice if you're a generator, a manifesting generator, is when you go next time you go to a restaurant, hand the menu to your friend and ask them to say, do you want a salad? And then you just practice, Do you want chicken in your salad? And play with it. If you're a manifester, you want to inform people what you're up to before you jump in. Projectors need to wait to be recognized and invited before you share your wisdom. And reflectors, just be super kind and patient with yourself. There's a little more in this handout, but for time, I will leave it to you to take a deeper look. And then finally, feel into this thing we talked about with openness and definition in your centers. There are 9 centers. Some of your centers are colored in, and some of them are open. If you have definition, say, in that emotional center, honor that. You have emotional ups and downs, which are normal for you. If you have openness in that emotional center, you're more likely to feel other people's emotions. Watch that you don't get carried away on their ride and find a way to come back to yourself. Let that energy go so you can come back to your own center. So with that, and, you know, I have to say we've covered so much and we've really sort of just touched on the tip of the iceberg. But here are some ways. I'm going now to slide 14, which says special offer for today's participants. Here are some ways you can dive in deeper if this really is interesting to you. So offer number one is you can receive your individual human design chart plus more information, like I think it was Jessica was asking for, by clicking on the link on the handout or on the screen. I'm not going to read it out loud, but it's on your PDF handout. It's a very long link. I apologize. But that
we're
will take
send
you to a...
We're going to send it out.
Barry's going to send it out. Yeah.
Send it out to everybody.
So anyone who's been on this call can get a free chart. I know you may have run your chart here, but I'll run it again and I'll send you further info. Offer two. The first 5 of you who email me after this call are going to receive a free 10-minute mini human design session. So we'll run your chart, I will study it ahead of time, and we'll do a quick and dirty, you know, coaching session. But a lot can happen in that 10 minutes, as you can see did with Jean. So if you'd like to do that, at the end of the call, you're going to email me at linda@ignite.joy.us. Just email me and put in the subject line ICFLA free mini, and I'll first five, you're in. And then offer three. Anyone who would like to receive a full human design reading / session where I run your chart, I pull up the centers, the gates, the channels, and I put it all together for you in a very catalytic and comprehensive reading / coaching session, you can have that for only $295. It takes about 75 minutes. It's recorded, and we schedule a follow-up. But we do the reading. We do it over the phone. It's very easy. It's a lot of fun, and I guarantee it will bring you a lot more information about yourself, but it will also, if you're interested, give you more information on how you can use this in interfacing with other people, especially your clients. And, you know, one thing I didn't speak to today that I can speak to more either in your mini or in a full reading is how do you apply this information to marketing your business? Because it can really radically, well, let's not say radically, but it can really enhance your capacity to expand your business. So just something else I wanted to mention because I didn't really get into that today. So with that, I think we're complete here, and I'll turn it back over to all of you.
Okay, Linda, we have one more question, and that's from Barry.
Yeah, it's actually a comment. Thanks. Thanks, Linda. This is very helpful. I got introduced to this several years ago, so I would not say that I'm a beginner, but I'm not an expert. I go to somebody like Linda, but I'm a generator. And what I wanted to say when you said the which took me a long while to get, I now kind of do it automatically, just like, you know, I'm a coach, PCC, so just like if you gave a client a structure to work on, you know, some structure, do something this week. So I practice that, like, automatically. So now what happens is if I don't have somebody saying, well, do you want chicken, do you want fish, you know, thing, what I have to do is I have to practice as my own structure doing this. And then what happens is it comes pretty automatically. Now, for me, as an example, as a generator, if somebody's just talking to me and a bunch of information comes in and I feel like I get swamped, I actually have to wait. Now, I don't have to wait very long, but I have to wait long enough to get enough of to say, oh, my God, I'm swamped, too much information. Can we break it down smaller? So I just want to kind of give that as a flavor of sort of how me as a client, me as the coach, I'm my favorite client, right? have used it for I don't even know how long. I've probably known this work for 7 or 10 or 12 years, but it is something that is quite an amazing tool. So I just want to add that in closing. Anything you want to say about that? Because I am a generator.
Oh, I thank you, Barry. I love what you said about chunking it down. So you can use that to chunk down this like expansive information so you can decide what's right for you. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that and I use some waiting. And sometimes
yes.
The waiting isn't like waiting hours, and it could be. Sometimes it's waiting a couple of seconds. But sometimes I go, I got to think about it. And then, boy, it can come back. Now, it's not, and don't get me wrong, I don't get it right perfectly all the time, but I was thinking when somebody was mentioning this earlier, wow, I am like farther along than I was, say, 10 years ago when I first learned this. I said, what is this waiting thing? I got no clue. And then I thought, oh, yeah, I have been practicing it, and I haven't even realized it. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that in. I think it's a fascinating conversation. And thank you so much for sharing this in the space around coaching.
Thank you so much for having me. My only regret is that we didn't have more time for conversation with everyone on the call because it's so dynamic. So I invite any of you who want to either, you know, go with one of the offers or just send me an email and invite me into a conversation, and let's keep the dialogue going.
I'd be curious on one quick thing, and then we're going to have to wrap up. Let's do a really quick poll. If you're interested in having a cafe is just an open, we do it on Zoom, it's an open forum, and we have a topic. If you're interested in having a cafe where people come and share information about this with each other, not necessarily just Linda, press one on your keypad. I just want to do a really quick poll and just get a read. Press one if you go yes, press two if you go no way. Fine. I'm just curious. Okay, so we've got a pretty big, we got some no's, but we got 25 or more percent yes, 28,
yay.
And no, some people no. Okay, that just gives us an idea that we might want to do a cafe sometime on that. Okay, I think it's time to wrap up. Thank you so much, Linda. Over there to you, Cynthia, to give us a wrap.
Well, Linda, thank you so much. Wow, what a lot to take in and how fascinating. And thank you to Jean for playing and participating and for really stepping up. Thank you to Elspeth and Barry for mastering Maestro. And thank you to everyone who asked questions, who were listening on the call, not just listening, but participating by going on to the link and doing your design. And thank you for the great turnout today. We had a wonderful turnout, and it was felt by certainly myself. And without you, this virtual chapter would not exist. So keep showing up. It's great to connect and learn together. I'd like to invite you to join ICFLA on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn to share your thoughts and ideas. You can find the social media links on the ICFLA.org website. This completes our ICF Los Angeles teleclass for today, Tuesday, December 5th, 2017. Thank you, everyone, and have a wonderful rest of the day.